The Spur of the Moment podcast is proudly presented by Shane Dagey, Realtor of Always Here Properties. Selling your home, buying your home, first-time buyers, investors, and seasoned home buyers. Call or text 512-540-1626, and I'll be glad to help with all of your real estate needs. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Spur of the Moment podcast. I'm your host, Shane Dagey.
And I'm your co-host, Drew Dagey. Welcome to episode 45 of Spur of the Moment.
Yes, and the Spurs had a huge win that we're going to cover. And I've got to remind you, we're coming straight at you from the Simonator Studios in the heart of Texas. Spurs trounced the Portland Trail Blazers 133-96 in what was one of the most dominating wins of the season. A lot of players contributed. Great night for the Spurs. I think it separated that distance between that seventh and eighth draft pick, which is a good thing or bad thing, depending on your opinion, but brought us a lot closer to the play-in game, and now we have it again. I know we said this the last time, but our next matchup is the biggest of the season regarding the play-in game, and I'll tell you why later. Drew, what were your thoughts about last night's game?
Yeah, domination. We scored 45 in the first quarter. We had five people in double figures. And that game was just over right when it started because we dominated the Portland Trail Blazers. They really just had nobody. They're injured riddled. They have no Damian Lillard, no Anthony Simons. So we just take advantage of that and dominated.
Yep, and no Yusuf Nurkic, who's breaking kids' phones all over the NBA. If you know that story, but that's basically a really good win for the Spurs. And here's the other kicker about this: guess who we play two more times this season?
The Trailblazers.
Yeah, we play them two more times. So after a dominating win like that, the next two are going to seem a lot more doable, bringing us a lot closer to that play-in game, ladies and gentlemen. And they're both in San Antonio. So that's, you can chalk those as wins up depending on if we play like we did last night. So anyway, a great win for the Spurs. Really proud of that effort. Really proud of that team win. Really doing some good things. So let's get on to the top two, bottom two segment. Drew, who are your top two players, sir?
All right, so my first top two, give me Keldon Johnson. He scored 26 points. He had one steal and one block. He had four rebounds. He shot 8 of 14 from the field, 5 of 8 from the three-point line, just 28 minutes. Keldon Johnson was really, really good last night. My second top two, I've got DeJounte Murray. He scored 28 points, 7 assists, 6 rebounds. He shot 10 of 14 from the field. He shot 60% from 3 in 30 minutes of play. Great performances from both of them, and I hope to see that continue.
Yeah, for sure. And that was an awesome night by DeJounte. Shooting-wise, that was one of his better nights of the year. So really good on your top two. I had top two that were two different because there were so many great outings from the Spurs in that game. But my number one was Mr. Blockup-Pertl. Mr. Blockup-Pertl, that's right. That was his season high. 6 block shots last night. That was awesome by him. He also chipped in with 16 points and 9 rebounds on 8 of 13 shooting, and he didn't miss a single three-pointer. So Blockup-Pertl was my number one of the top two for me. My other top two was Mr. Devin Vassell, and a lot of this happened in the first half, but that's really what widened the gap for the Spurs. Was he was 4 of 5 from three-point land, and that's a pretty awesome night. He also had 2 steals and 5 assists, finished out with 16 points total. For those of you plus-minus fans, Devin Vassell was at a plus 26, so that was pretty awesome. The other, Drew's number two guy, Keldon Johnson, was at a plus 30, or I guess that was his number one guy. So plus-minus fans, that was a big night for you guys. So Blockup-Pertl and Devin Vassell were my top two. DeJounte Murray and Keldon Johnson were Drew's top two. Drew, let's talk about the bottom two.
Well, guess what? We won by almost 40, so we do not have a bottom two. It's the rule. If we win by 15 or more, we have no bottom two. And there's no need to because we dominated.
No negativity tonight, Spurs fans. And that's a two-game winning streak, both in Golden State and in Portland. And that momentum for the play-in game picks back up again. Just when you think it's gone, the Spurs start inching their way back towards it. So the draft pick or play-in game discussion continues on. All right, let's get now to the segment of our show called The Question of the Day. Remember, you can always email us at spurspodcast99@gmail.com or text your questions to 512-540-1626. Tonight's question comes all the way from San Bernardino, California. This question is from Carlos. Carlos asks, what happens if the Spurs tie the Pelicans or the Lakers or both for the play-in game? That's a great question, Carlos. I'm glad you brought it up because with only 9 games remaining, it comes bigger and bigger into the picture. So I'll try to break it down as easy and simple as possible for the listening audience. Number one, and this is why this Pelicans game is the biggest Pelicans-Spurs game of the season. We're now tied 2-2 on the season. Spurs have won 2, New Orleans has won 2. Well, the tiebreaker is the head-to-head record. So this is the fifth game. Whoever wins it will own that tiebreaker, which means if the Spurs can get that dub and they happen to tie with the Pelicans, the Spurs will be the one in the play-in game. Okay, that also goes for the Lakers. It's a little more complicated with the Lakers, though, because we've only played them with them not being in our division. We've only played them 4 times, which is 2 wins Spurs, 2 wins Lakers. So if that tiebreaker goes on, it will go then to the highest winning percentage in conference games. So conference games would be that Spurs-Lakers tiebreaker. So the Pelicans one is clear-cut and simple. As far as we win that one, we tie them, and we will be the team in the play-in. Now, to break this picture down for you guys even further, I'm going to just tell you why he said Lakers and Pelicans, because the Spurs are only 2 games behind the Lakers and only 1.5 games behind New Orleans. Well, guess what? Spurs beating them would move them half a game behind New Orleans. So with only 9 games remaining in the Spurs schedule, still a lot of possibilities exist for the Spurs in that play-in game. So great question, Carlos. We appreciate you listening. We appreciate your questions as always. So just keep that in mind, Spurs fans. This one against New Orleans coming up Saturday. Now, the time on this one, we'll get to that later, is a weird game time for them, but the Spurs will be in New Orleans for their next one on Saturday. Let's get to our segment of the show called This Day in Spurs History. Drew, what do you got for us?
Yeah, good job on breaking that down. So in This Day in Spurs History, I'm going to take us back to March 23rd, 2007, where it was a really good matchup between one of the best teams in the East and one of the best teams in the West. It was the Spurs versus the Pistons, and it was only a 1-point game, and the Spurs ended up getting that with Manu Ginobili hitting some clutch free throws, and we had some other good performances also. We had Tim Duncan score 17 points and 14 rebounds. We had Tony Parker score 22 points, 7 assists, 2 steals. We had Brent Berry scoring 16 points, making 4 threes, which is great, and only 5 shots. Then we had Manu Ginobili chipping in with 10 points and making the 2 free throws that iced the game. That game was the second game of a 6-game win streak dominating, and that's going to be it for this day in Spurs history.
Thank you, Drew, for that look back into the 2007 season. Good times, and we were rolling back then. All right, so the next segment of our show is our preview of the upcoming game. I referred to this earlier, weird start time for this one. It's going to be Saturday at 4 p.m. in New Orleans. Saturday at 4 p.m., you have the 29-44 San Antonio Spurs going into New Orleans to play the 30-42 New Orleans Pelicans. huge play-in game implications on this one. Drew, what can you tell us about New Orleans, sir?
Yeah, the New Orleans Pelicans have C.J. McCollum, great since coming to New Orleans. Averaged 26 points, 4 rebounds, and 6 assists. Brandon Ingram, who's averaging 22 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists. Jonas Valanciunas, one of the most underrated players in the NBA. He averages 18 points, 11 rebounds, 2 assists. And Jackson Hayes, who averages 9 points and 3 rebounds a game. That is a little about the New Orleans Pelicans. I hope this game doesn't turn out how it happened last time.
Yeah, for sure. The last one that Drew's referring to, not too long ago, but it was on March 18th. The Pels ended up beating the Spurs 124-91, and it was just a rough night all around. Pop got ejected, Lonnie Walker got hurt, and it was just a rough night for the Spurs. So, I hope you're right. I hope it's not like that one. Okay, so with that being said, let's talk about this. Who is your player to go off, and what is your prediction for this big game?
All right, so my player to go off, I'm going to go with Josh Richardson. I've really liked his game the past couple of nights. So Josh Richardson will be my player to go off. I think he'll have a great game. And my prediction for this game is I think we will break the tiebreaker. I think we will win this game by 4 points. Very close game, and we will break the tiebreaker.
Awesome. Well, very good. And you had me scared when you said the first name, because my player to go off is our recent starter, another Josh. And I think this is going to be Josh Primo's time to shine on Saturday afternoon. He's my player to go off. I hope it's not like the last time we played them. I think we're going to be well rested since the Portland game. We'll have a few days off to get our legs under us and get ready for this big game. My prediction is going to be a little bit closer than yours. I still think the Spurs are going to win this one, but I think the Spurs are going to win by 1 point on a game-winning 3-point shot by Mr. Josh Primo. Get ready for it. That's his coming out party and biggest moment in NBA history. That's my prediction for Saturday afternoon at 4 o'clock in, without a doubt, the biggest game to date of the Spurs season. Hopefully we can get that play-in game. Let's go. All right, so ladies and gentlemen, thank you guys for joining us. Drew just told me our last episode was popping off quite a bit. We had more listeners on our last episode after the win over Golden State than any others. We always appreciate you guys listening. Our numbers have been ever increasing with each episode, and that's just many thanks to you guys as a listening audience. Drew and I put a lot of work and effort into this show. We try to always be truthful in our reporting. We take notes. We meet before the show every time. But that's all for you and all for San Antonio Spurs Nation. So we're going to wrap up this episode, and I'm going to turn it over to Mr. Drew Daigie.
Yeah, thank you, everybody, for the support. Thank you for 400 listeners. And as always, go Spurs, go!